Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This is Dr. Gwyneth. Thanks so much for tuning into Lighthouse for Lifetime Holiness. We're doing our series on prayer, and we'll continue. And I am excited to see what the Holy Spirit has for us today as I yield my vessel as an instrument for Him to talk through. Amen. Praise God. Well, today we are going to talk about the two aspects of prayer. And it's actually like two sides, if you would reference a door. And it's called an examinement of our consciousness, of us knowing what we're thinking, what we're feeling, discovering how God has been present to us. So many times we think consciously we're not even aware of God's presence. And that if we discover that God's presence is with us throughout the day, and so that's your assignment today, to be consciously aware of God's presence and how has He been with you throughout the day and how have you responded to His presence. You know, I was thinking about the scripture that says to be careful of how we entertain strangers, because we could be entertaining angels unaware that may come to us, and we may push them off or push them aside, and it could be God sending someone into your life. You could be entertaining angels. God could be trying to give to you the very thing you've been asking for through situations, circumstances, and He's presenting Himself. He's present in those particular things. So what are your reflections on? So if you're taking notes, the first thing is, what are your reflections on your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions? What consumes your mind? What you reflect on is really what you will become. Where we are today is because of a self-fulfilling prophecy of us opening up ourselves to either a thought that got us there, or God leading us there, or maybe you're there by your own will, or your own plans. So I want you to just ask yourself, what are your thoughts? What are you feeling? And what have been your actions? How have you been responding? So, reflection of our thoughts. Have you been thinking, wow, nobody loves me, God doesn't love me, nobody cares? Or have you been thinking, God, this is the day that you have made. I will reflect on that. I will rejoice. I will look for you in situations and circumstances. Do you know that blessings are passing you every day? And it's what you're reflecting on, what you're praying for, is what you're believing. So your thoughts and your feelings and the actions. The next one is, what is your awareness of your surroundings? Are we really aware of what's around us? Are we conscious of, you know, what God is doing in our family? Are we really listening to our children? Are our thoughts so bombarded or that we're not even really hearing what they're saying? And that's what we're going to talk about today in our prayer time. Just the two sides, the two sides of the door, the two aspects of prayer. And I know that God wants you today to think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. Are you thinking on things that are fearful? Because those things will come up on you. But be aware of what's around you. And the next point is remembering and rehearsing the mighty deeds of what God would have you to do. Can you imagine being so much like God that you are rehearsing and doing the things that God has called us to, called you to do? That you are walking out the things of Jesus. But so many times our mind, that's why I use the word conscious, but sometimes, you know, it's our mind is so bombarded with things that God cannot work in us and work through us because we're either overshadowing it with fear, overshadowing with disappointment, dis-ease, and that comes from disease, and that's why so many people, they're not relaxed, and I believe that you should be thinking about, you know, my surroundings. Maybe God wants you to go to a place by the ocean and reflect, or by a lake, or just in a quiet room, and just reflect on Him, and be aware of the surroundings. This is part of prayer. This is for our meditation. Finding a quiet place to think and commune with God so God can speak to you and give you the answers that you've been looking for. So today we're talking about discovering how God has been present to us throughout the day and how you have responded to it. What are your reflections? What are your awareness and remembering and releasing the mighty deeds of God? That's being Christ-like. Go and imitate God. Go and imitate what Christ would do throughout your day. And that's a part of prayer. I know we've talked the last two sessions about the power of prayer and fervent prayer and the intensity of prayer. But this is a part, too, of just the meditation and our thoughts and feelings, and what are we thinking even towards God. The other point is uncovering the areas in our lives that need cleansing, purifying, and healing. So our scripture text today is in Psalms 139:23. And it says, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." So what did we say? Number one, reflections on our thoughts. Reflections on our feelings. Reflection on our actions. And I love to share this story, and it's long, but I'll try to just give you a short version of it. It's almost like a 7-minute story, but we'll narrow it down to a minute or less, about a man who was having a bad day, a Christian. Couldn't get a job, couldn't provide for his family, having problems in his relationship. Went by a man's home on the way from the job interview that he ended up not getting the job. And he sees this man and sees his house and his family, and from the outside looking in, looks like everything is going great for him. Good job, good wife, children. And out of all the things, he has a flat tire on a country road, has to walk back to the man's house. But the whole time in his mind, in his thoughts, in his reflections, in his thinking, he's focusing on reflecting how things are bad for him and how God hasn't provided for him and he doesn't have a good life and his wife doesn't love him and things are, and his children, they don't honor him. And he gets to this man's house, knocks on the door wanting help because he didn't have a jack to fix the tire, and he's thinking these thoughts. He's reflecting on this and it's overpowering his mind. And he's thinking the man is in the bed, ready to go to work tomorrow with his wife and his children, and he has everything together, and he's disturbing him, and he doesn't want to knock on the door and disturb him because, you know, the man has everything together. Things are so bad for him, and when the man comes to the door, he's reflected on this so much. The man says, "Hello, I'm glad to see you," and he says, "I don't want nothing you have. You keep your jack anyway." So here he is telling the man's story, and the man like, "What, Jack? What are you talking about?" But in his mind, that he's thinking this man is so busy, he doesn't. And that's kind of how our minds, if we let the enemy come into our thoughts and don't let the Lord examine us, instead of saying, "God, I know that you're blessing him. And as you go by, and I know as you go by, as he went by that man's house, he could have said, I know you're blessing his children. And the same thing that he has, I know you're going to provide me a job. I'm trusting you. I'm reflecting on that. That my feelings and my actions are going to be positive towards the things that you have prepared for me. And you want me to have that abundant life. And God, I'm going to think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report." For all he know, he could have went to the man's house to ask for a jack, and he could have ended up helping him and been the next key link to getting him a job. But so many times we tell ourselves these stories, and half the time the things that we're thinking about, we're creating the sickness. And, you know, we're praying for people that think that something's wrong all the time, and the enemy attacks them. And they know it's an attack, but you have to cast down those thoughts and think on things. So back to the scripture, it says here, and I'm reading out of the NIV, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." The question is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about? You can let a bird fly over your head, but you don't have to let the nest be built there and the eggs laid and the other birds come. That's a saying. That you can have thoughts that come, but you bind them and you say, "Oh God, search my heart. Let your light from heaven shine and remove the darkness from me." And that's what God is wanting us. The victories that we're looking for are found by thinking on things that are lovely, pure, and of a good report. That's the victory. And having God search my heart. The old timers used to say, "Lord, let the light of heaven shine on me. And if there's anything unclean in me, remove it." And so you're inviting God. You're uncovering those areas in your life that need cleansing. So God, you know, what do you need to cleanse in me? The enemy's job is to make you think things that people are thinking about you when they're normally not. They say 99% of the things that you're thinking about, they never happen, so why worry about them? But on the other side of that coin, if you continue to worry about them, you will make them a self-fulfilling prophecy. The other part is you're so worried about what people are thinking about you, spending your time there, when God wants you to think about what he thinks about you. Not what man thinks about you. You should not fear man. Even the scripture says, don't fear man. I always say, as Christians, in our thought mind, how can someone put a curse on us when God said we're blessed? It's because the way that witches and warlocks try to work is when they try to put a curse on you, you be to believe it or think it's your thought that their power is more greater than God's, but the devil is a liar. They have no power over you. And you have to check your thoughts and your mind to know what God says, to cancel out what the devil is saying. This is part of prayer. This is the two sides. This is the two sides to the door. Now, when you're saying, search me, the search me, that means thoroughly. So if you are feeling like you're defeated in your mind through dis-ease that comes from disease, like someone has put a curse on you, if you believe it, then it is. Because you give them the power. And even when God says, fear man, that means don't fear what man can do to you. That means don't fear what wizards and warlocks can do to you. Don't fear what your boss can do to you. Don't fear what your children might do or what your husband might do or what your wife might do. But what is God saying? Search me, O Lord, thoroughly, O God. Don't worry about your reputation and what people are saying about you or gossiping about you, because the same news that Haman had for Mordecai, he hung on it. But you examine your heart and make sure what you're doing and your motives are pure. So the point is, discovering how God has been present to us throughout the day and how you're responding to his presence is the point. Or are we pushing back with our reflections and feelings and actions that are negative when God wants them to be on things that are lovely, pure, and a good report? Are you aware of your surroundings? The footprints of the Holy Spirit. The footprints of the Holy Spirit walking through you and through your life, and the angelic host surrounding you. I love the radical saints. Angel feathers. Start looking for angel feathers. Start looking. We were praying last night, and for a lady, and just the glory cloud came right over. God's presence. There's portals, if you believe it, or do you want to believe that the demons are coming, and you're going to go in a dark room, and that's your prayer. That's your prayer tunnel. That's when we open up the door of darkness. God said, get out of the bed, open up the curtain, turn the lights, don't lay and pray with negative thoughts, because that prayer too, for demons to entertain and come into your spirit realm, for demons to come into the darkness and of your soul. But God says, you think on things that are lovely and pure. You open up the shades. Let the sun go in, S-U-N, come in, because that's what the devil does. People who are depressed and down, they get into a dark room and close all the drapes and let the light in. God can come in down in the name of Jesus and be aware of your surroundings and say, Holy Spirit, come in. The demons, I just see even now the demons just fleeing from some of your life, where if you invite the Holy Spirit, you invite God, the demons have to go. They have no room. They have no place there. And the footprints of God, and he can carry you. I love the picture of the sand where Jesus is walking and carrying the person. That's what God, he wants to walk into your life. He wants to carry you. He wants to have the footprints of the Holy Spirit. But when we give our thoughts captive to the devil, we're captive to the devil. When we give our thoughts captive to God in meditation on things that are pure, lovely, and a good report, and thoroughly, as the scripture says here, searching your heart. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me. So I'm asking you today, what are you thinking? They have a saying in America, is it stinking thinking? Or is it good thinking? Is it pure thinking? you remembering and rehearsing the mighty deeds of God. If you give love, love's going to come back. If you give hate, the seed and the root of bitterness, the hate, will destroy your life. So the uncovering those areas of your life that need cleansing, what does God want to purify? You know, in Brazil, they have very dry air, and even here in Korea and Japan, sometimes the air is dry, and they use the heaters. You use humidifiers. Sometimes you use purifiers in places where there's too much moisture to get out. But God wants to settle your atmosphere. He wants to get it just right where you are, so that it's the purification of the situation, the purification of your circumstance. He said it's based on what you have, your consciousness, what you think about. This is the scripture. The New Age take this and use it, but this is Jesus. They always talk about your consciousness and try to uplift people by the positive, but with God and with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus and the blood and the purification, you can only experience the fullness. That's counterfeit. And so God is saying here, he wants you to be cleansed and purifying, inviting him to search your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way. So that's the other translation. The wicked way means what? Pain. The wicked way is a way of pain. Are you hurting? Are you mentally in pain? Are you physically in pain? Are you spiritually in pain? The wicked way in me, and lead me to the way that's everlasting. That's the other version. So we're asking today the 2 points. Discovering how God has been present to us throughout the day. There's miracles and blessings either coming to you or going by you every day. How are you going to respond to it? Uncover those areas of your life that need cleansing, purifying, and healing. A joint effort together with God, not on your own. Otherwise, we would engage in self-justification or self-flagellation. And God does not want that. Because we can only do this through Jesus. He gives who gives us strength. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. God wants you to have the abundant life. God wants you to think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report. You might say, oh, it's bad. Well, faith without works is dead. Start working to believe that it's good, and you'll see the good. I love this story of a husband and wife. Man, he told him, he said, they were going to get divorced. He said, 30 days, you have your divorce. You hate one another, you don't like her, he don't like you. And you said that he's no good, and he'll never be nothing, and he's a slob, and he doesn't provide, he doesn't do this, and you don't like her because she's nagging all the time, and you'd rather move out. So the man said, okay. That was their thoughts towards one another. He said, now, I want you to go home, and since you have the next 30 days for your divorce is final, maybe it may take 60, I want you just to take those last few days just to tell each other how much you love her and tell him how much you love him. because you're going to be leaving one another. So they went on telling each other every day how much they loved each other and how good they were when they first got married and things worked. And guess what happened? They changed. See, two sides of a door. There's two aspects of prayer. What we're thinking in our conscious, uncovering the areas in our lives that need cleansing. We have to be aware of that. Not your self-justification or self-flagellation, but in joint efforts together with God can save your marriage. Not on our own, but only with Christ. So the prayer, this will produce, is going to be able to teach you how to love. Mm-hmm. And how can we love one another when we don't love ourselves? And this is what God is wanting us to do, is to love who we are and where we are by thinking that we are loved and that we are lovely. And as my dad used to say, and lovable. So you are lovely, you are lovable, because as we know that hurting people hurt others. Hurting people are always trying to put somebody else down. Going to a person, saying negative things, jealousy, envy. But God doesn't want us to think of negative thoughts about other people. He wants you to know that you walk in the favor of God, that you are blessed. You don't have to be jealous. God has made room for you. He's made rooms for your gift, that you can love and like yourself through Christ to be able to overcome. So it goes back to self-acceptance, that we can only do and receive by the fullness of God and understanding his love for us. For he gave his only begotten son. Even Abraham, he was so willing to sacrifice because he believed that God could raise his son from the dead. But God is willing. What are we willing to lay down so that God can give us the fullness of what we need? So as I close, I want you to practice by turning around a journey through ourselves to God. Not working unto others, but unto God. God is the central force, and we are attracted like magnets by the law of central tenacity. God draws us. Are you drawn of God? God says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. You can do this even through journaling. Your spiritual inventory of yourself and meditate even on the commandments of the Lord, the Ten Commandments. And even with all of our going, I told my daughter, I said, the next 7 days, we're gonna minister, but we're going to relax. We're not going to have our team members wore out where they're so tired. They go to bed and sleep in their clothes. We have to have balance. That's Miss Japan. So everything's about balance. Sometimes you need to take the retreat time and find a place to relax, to meditate. Take a daily spiritual inventory. And if you're like people are pulling on you because of your time, that means they're pulling on you and you need time with God. Love yourself. Whitney Houston had the song, the greatest love of all It's learning to love yourself, but do we really learn to love ourselves for God's acceptance and love within? And when we have the knowledge, that's going to lead to our self-acceptance. Not self-justification or self-flagellation. Those are efforts that aren't God. But we want you to join in with God. And remember, if you invite God today to search your heart, and I'm praying right now that a big light goes and shines in your soul with anything that's there that God will show you. In Jesus' name, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way. That's a way of pain. If you're in pain, that's a wicked way. God says, you have life abundantly. When he took the crowns on his head, that was for your headache. When he took the whips on your back, that's for all your rib problems and the blood and your and the that he shed. And he took everything up on him that you wouldn't have to experience any of it. His blood covers it. You don't need the way of pain in you. And suffering means, you know what suffering for Jesus means? It means passionate, to be passionate. But lead me in the way everlasting. So uncover those areas of your life that need cleansing, purifying, and healing. And remember, reflection on your thoughts, feelings, and actions should always be towards God. And be aware of your surroundings. And I'm looking for the footprints of the Holy Spirit throughout my day. I'm looking for angelic visitations from God, messengers from God, and remembering and rehearsing his deeds. Go and love someone instead of wanting to be loved and singing the song we used to in kindergarten. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. No, everybody doesn't hate you. I love you, God loves you, and so many people love you, but you have to be able to accept it. Now go and accept the love and give love and discover today how God has been present throughout your day and how he has responded and how you have responded to his presence. There's two sides of a door. Blessings to you, blessings to the kingdom, and tune in next week and share this message with a friend. I hope you were encouraged. As we continue, next week we'll talk about the prayer of tears. That's the other side of the door. Ooh. Amen. God bless you. And we are here live from Korea. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we will see you at the appointed time. And just to give you a little taste, the prayer of tears is just coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. Sometimes it's just good to cry. Yes, before the Lord. And we'll go into a more in-depth study next week. God bless. Bye-bye. Enjoy your Sabbath.